Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Don't Kill the Messenger, where today I have a special guest where we're going to be talking about sales and mindset. And if you're anything like me, you understand that generating never-ending leads is great until you can't close anything. So let's really dive into it today. And if you are ready to generate never-ending leads so that you can actually grow your business and scale and go from the best kept secret to the go-to authority in your market, head on over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy of the complete automation strategy, the four phases we take our private clients through, and anyone should needs to go through to scale even faster. Now, welcome in my guest today, Kip Brooks. Hey, Kip, how you doing?
Fantastic, man. To be on quarantine this long, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here, excited to dive into this. I know you're a speaker, trainer, and a coach. Really helping people with sales and mindset there and around a lot of that stuff. Like, I feel like a lot of people, and really rapport, right? Rapport building is kind of your biggest thing there. And one of the, a lot of people, what I feel is when they hear sales, they immediately start to like turtle because they're like, I feel like everyone has this like trauma with sales and we just kind of just turtle and we don't know what to do next. We don't like talking about it. We don't like thinking that we have to do it, but it's necessary. So what do you have to say to that?
Yeah, that it's fine. Everybody does. And I did for a long time too, right? And that's, you know, that's a key part of, you know, I do a lot of mindset work with people too. And that's a key part that we end up having to dig out at some point. It's like, because we've all heard that. It's like even, even people who are like 20, 25 years old now, it's like their parents or someone in their life, their grandparents, or aunts or uncles, have told them about the sleazy salesman, right? Yep. And how greasy salesmen are and everything. Because, man, in the 70s and 80s especially, it's like, it seemed like that's all there was. And any movie that was put out that had anything to do with sales had showed either someone was getting hoodwinked, scammed, or, you know, or the salesman was just super greedy and didn't care about anyone else. And it was all the, it focused on like the very small niche part that was all negative, right? And and then there was drugs and all this other stuff. So, you know, it's just all the worst parts and nothing wholesome about it. And that's always something we have to dig out. Everyone has it, I think, at a little bit, but truly it's like at its core, you know, sales actually comes the root word or originally came from was sell in, which is like I think it's spelled S-E-L-L-E-N, and it meant to serve. And that's truly what it is. And actually, you know, one of my mentors would always like preach a sermon about it. And he was like, look, he's like, if you care about the betterment of the planet and the world and humanity, he said, then get out there and sell. He was like, because if you believe in what you're selling, then you know it can improve someone's life. And he's like, you owe it to the world to get out there and sell it. And he would actually start making he dug that feeling out of me that salesmen are sleazy, because it was just kept drilling me with it and reframing it to the point where it was like, he's like, you're doing a disservice to yourself and to your clients and to your family if you're not out there selling it. He's like, the only incongruency really should be, the only slimy feeling you should ever get is if you're selling something you don't believe in. He's like, if you're just selling it for the money, then
I love it. Yep.
Yeah. And once I took on to that, it's like, oh yeah, totally in love with what I'm promoting or selling. And if I wasn't, then it's like, okay, that's where the issue is. It's not sales.
Yeah. You know, right. That's something I found out very early on as well. I had the same issues, right? I would get on sales calls and I felt like what I was delivering wasn't like to the best of what I could deliver, like very early on, right? It was like, I actually started with making websites and I was a freelancer that way. And that's how we got into this whole marketing thing, the agency that we run. But that was definitely the thing. And I, like, websites weren't necessarily like my forte. I wasn't excited about it. I knew it could help, but it's an online brochure, right? So it was hard for me to make those sales because I didn't fully believe in them, right? So I get that. And I feel like a lot of people run into that. And if you're not, what would you say are commonalities amongst people that's not their issue, right? Their issue is maybe in the actual conversation part. I don't want to feel pushy, or I don't want to feel like insert blank here, right? So what do you, what are some of those commonalities?
Yeah, it's, I think it goes a lot of times it's still built on some sort of limiting belief foundation, either around salesman or it's a self-worth thing. I mean, anybody, if I dig far enough down with, there's usually a self-worth thing because it's like, I've got to sell myself. And it's like, you peel back the layers and that's what it is. And it's, so it's like, what are you hiding from exactly? But cause it's, oftentimes it does kind of straddle in between either you don't believe in the product or you don't believe in yourself, or there's a mix a lot of times. And, you know, what's funny is these, you know, I've had some people be like, well, I just don't understand how to get passionate about it. And it's like, how do you do that without being pushy? It's like, when you see a good movie that you really like, you don't shut up about it. When you had a good meal that you're absolutely in love with or a dessert, it's like, you're pushy with that. And it's like, well, no, that's not pushy. That's just expressing something that was good or a passion or whatever. And it's like, exactly. Just reframe it in your mind that you're not being pushy. You're being passionate. And what's wrong with passion? There's nothing wrong with passion.
And I love that. That's a great mindset shift for a lot of people, right? So you're not being pushy, you're being passionate, because it's true. If like, I love talking about marketing, right? My family, they're just kind of like, oh my God, here we go again. You know, but like when I talk about it and like the possibilities for someone, I get excited about it. And they feed off of that as well, because they see how excited I am about it. And I feel what a lot of people, they're coming into those initial conversations with people, they schedule with you because they want to work with you, right? They want the problem that you solve, you know? Yeah. And if you're not showing up excited of how you can actually help them, whether that be with you or not, sometimes people aren't the right fit, right? But
yeah,
totally. If they are, why wouldn't you be excited?
Yeah, my wife and I actually mentor and train a lot of coaches. And that's one of the things we drill to them. It's like, look, just because someone's looking for coaching, it's like no one reaches out for a coach just because they're killing time. And it's like, but you need to screen them. You need to make sure not only are you a good fit for them, but also are they a good fit for you? Because if you just force yourself out of desperation or the desire for the extra income and you take on that client, that's going to be the most headache client you've ever had. Not saying anything's wrong with them. It's like, you need that congruency, that flow. And if you don't, if you keep taking yourself, because I used to force myself to take any and every client because it's like, I can help anybody. And also, like, I've got a family to provide for. And, oh my God, my energy was zapped. I didn't enjoy coaching anymore. I didn't enjoy speaking, nothing. And then finally, I started getting more strict on who I would work with. And also, like, say, making sure what I was owning and selling was in alignment with my values and everything else. And everything just flows so much more. And I always had the energy. And then, and also too, you know, being that much in alignment with what you do and believing in it that much, whenever someone says, you know, no or not now, or, you know, whatever it is, like, you don't take the rejection as much because it's like, it's your loss. Like, it's totally not mine. It's like, as long as you know you did a good job delivering it, and it's like, you know, for whatever reason they say no, or they put a pause on it, you know, can't afford it. It's like, it doesn't bother me as long as, like, I'll go through a checklist and it's like, I covered everything, right? Did I do a proper job promoting it and informing them of it? And it's like, as long as I can check all those off, it's like, oh man, you lost out, not me. And it's like, yes. I've got these skills, or I've got this, you know. The people, you know, we take rejection way too harsh, way too personally. And, you know, I mean, it's been beat to death in the sales world that no, it's typically just a not now. And, but yeah, if people show up and they're looking for us, like, they're talking to you, so they're asking for the solution. So it's like, you're not selling them, you're gifting them what they came looking for, you know? And
yeah.
And I used to sell cars when I was in my early 20s. And, I remember, you know, we'd always get people coming on the lot and it's like, oh, I'm just killing time until the movie or, you know, whatever. And, or I'm meeting my wife for dinner, you know, right over here, and then a movie, whatever it was. And I started buying into that. And then one day it just kind of hit me. I was like, wait a minute, there's a shopping mall right next to the, outdoorsman store, right next to the, Dick's Sporting Goods. It's like, there is so many other places this dude would have gone instead of driving a couple miles here to look at cars. It's like, No, he came on here. He's looking. It's just he needs to be delivered. He needs to be connected to it and also make sure his problem's solved. So then I started approaching it from that way. And I started hanging out with him. I'm like, hey, cool, man. So he goes, in case you have any answers or any questions, I'll just hang out and answer it. It's like, I'm not going to pressure you anything. And I was just hanging with him, build a rapport, and started selling so many of those people. It was pretty awesome. It's once I had that shift, realizing, I said, nobody just stumbles onto the lot. Who the heck kills time to go hang out with car salesmen, right? Especially car right, salesmen. Yeah, no, because what we say, it's like they know they're going to be sold, right? So
yeah.
If they wanted to kill time by that, they would just go hang out at the kiosk at the mall. You know, where yeah, those guys are being the pushy salesman. So
that's true. Like again, I think people, because they're so worried about focused on like, oh, sales, they forget that people that scheduled calls with them that are sales calls, they took some time out of their day to yeah. go to you. Like you have to remember that, right? It's important. If you make that switch of like, oh no, I don't want to push anything on them. You know, you're not. You're offering them a solution to a problem. It's up to them whether they take it or not. You have to help them yeah. make that decision whether it's a right fit or not. Some people are scared.
Yeah, and absolutely. By not delivering that to them because you think you're going to be pushy, it's like you're actually hiding it and keeping them from it. Because like you said, they've taken steps to get to it. They're just looking for direction from that point. You know, it's yeah. like they've reached the gatekeeper in the quest, and it's like, okay, I knew how to make it this far. I don't know how to make it beyond this point. And that's where you come in, or mm-hmm. we come in, or whatever. And it's like, okay, elicit a little bit of information from them. And it's like, okay, well, right over here is where you need to go to package number B, you know, because package A is not in your budget. Package C doesn't have all the value you need, or, you know, whatever. And yeah. It's like, yeah, just see yourself as that. It's like they're at a crossroads and they don't know which way to turn. It's up to us to just go and help them come to that solution.
And that it's true. That makes, I mean, I've heard this quote before. Someone said this to me once and it like completely changed the way I looked at everything after that point. You know, every now and then there's those moments in your life where you're like, I'll never be the same. This was one of those. And for me, when someone, they said it this way, they said, if they don't buy from you, they're going to buy from someone less qualified to help them than you. Because that person is willing to offer their services and say like, yeah, we can help you. But are they as qualified as you are to help them? Most of the time, so you end up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that because I actually just typed it in my phone so I can remember that because I had always heard, I thought you were going to say, you know, if they don't buy it from you, they're going to buy it from someone else. And then, but the way you said it, yeah, someone less qualified, it's like, oh, they're going to get.
So essentially, the other person's just more confident in offering, making yeah. the offer. That's it.
And dude, that's so much all it takes. I mean, you yeah. know, we see all the time, it's like, how did that guy get that girl? It's like,
he just asked.
Like,
yeah.
He's walking. Yeah,
he like, just walked
he
up.
He wasn't
and
terrified,
said,
right?
Yeah. Everyone else is curious over here, sitting on the corner in like the edge of the bar, like drinking a beer. They're like, how does that guy get that girl? Well, he's the only one who walked up and said hi. Like, that's it.
So you guys made it easy for him because you're standing over here hiding in yeah. the shadows.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's I do men's coaching and stuff, and I've mentored several guys, and it's so many times it's just that. It's like, oh, literally all you have to do is go over there. Just walk 10 feet.
Yep.
Like, that's it, and just say something. It's like you can completely trip over what you say in that scenario so many times. It's like, but you're 1,000 times further along than all those guys standing over there. It's like, because yeah. you made the effort.
I feel like so many cliches come to mind. So like, what are some tips then that you would give to help someone to build rapport? I feel like that's a great way to have that conversation, to start building that confidence to when you make, I mean, obviously you want to let them know, hey, I like to pre-frame a lot of the call. But like at the end of this call, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. And whether you make it, like, regardless of the decision, I just want to let you know ahead of time that there will be one. So I'm not like, hey, surprise, I have an offer. You know, like, I don't like being surprised like that. So I don't want to make others feel that way. So what would you say is like in building rapport in that initial piece, what's a good way to start doing that with people?
The easiest thing, and it works whether it's on a on a sales call or actually in person. A lot of people know this. I've met tons that don't, but the words we actually use are only 7% of communication, right? The main part of communication is body language. It's like, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's like 54% or something like that. Then the other 30 something percent that's remaining is, it might actually even be 57%, but the other 30 whatever percent is tonality. So when people understand, it's like, okay, if you're on the phone, voice really matters, right? And so they focus on that a lot, and it's awesome. Like, you can match someone else's tonality, you can match their speed, tempo, you know, whatever, the pitch that they use when they talk. And if you do that, that starts building rapport. But what a lot of people overlook is, some people say, oh, smile before you make a call, or actually get up and move around. And like, when I'm on a call, I'm standing. Right now, I'm standing. Like, I don't sit. And it's because of this. And it's like that affects your tonality and also your energy and how you show up with someone. Because when we're sitting down, it's more passive. It's not as engaged. And our body knows it. Typically, our reptilian brain knows that when we sit, it's rest time. So it's not thinking, oh, it's time to be passionate and stuff. And the whole smile thing shifts our state because, again, our mind recognizes it as being in a better mood, a higher energy, but also there have been scientific studies done on it, wondering why are we the only creatures on the planet that show our teeth and not be aggressive? Like we smile and we're happy. And what they found out is it's not in the appearance, it's the change, the frequency and the tonality of our voice. It makes it more pleasant. It gives it a different, more pleasant frequency, tone, whatever you want to call it. And they studied it over and over, and they're like, that's what they, everything was all exclusive. That was it. Whenever on the phone, just smile, unless you're delivering absolutely horrid. But even then, like, smile, because it just adds a softer tone to how you're delivering it, a more pleasant tone. You can still speak with like commanding tones and, all this different stuff, and get the influence, everything you need. It just makes it easier for you to be listened to. So it's making it easier for the person on the other end. And it can work magic. Like, I do it even when I'm being when I have a client, I need to, some clients need more assertiveness. Some need to be held hands with a little bit more. And even those ones that need me to be assertive and step into dad mode, it's like, I do it with a smile. And I don't know, it slips it in there. It's a little ninjutsu trick, getting it in. And then obviously as you start our words actually tell us what body posturing we need to do in so many ways. So if we're talking about being excited or anything else, or motivated, actually move with it, and again, that'll affect our tonality. And then and it starts building a synchronicity between the two.
There's congruence then, there. I get it.
And if you're in person or even on the phone or whatever, if you actually step away from the person, that shows them unconsciously that there's something you don't believe in what you said. Now, you can use it in a very impactful way. And if you're just sharing a story about a hardship you went through, people buy off of stories. Nobody actually buys off of information so much anymore. It's like, we love stories and we love connecting that way. And beauty part of stories is when you say your mom, I'm thinking about mine, I'm not thinking about yours. So it connects me to your story and your journey through my own version of it. And it connects us. When you're telling those, if you're talking about a time where you felt weak or you felt sad or you felt down, you can step back a little bit. And it actually it starts turning it into kind of a hero's journey from the movies or something. Because it gives a visual and it attaches them into it. But then when you talk about whatever product or service you have, how it's going to solve their problems, then you step up and you get a little more in a power stance, and it just associates the vibe. Because like when I do seminars or workshops or anything like that, any group trainings, I'll tell people, I'll have everybody, it's like right now, everyone sit like you would if you were depressed. And everyone automatically, even people who were born blind, know exactly what to go into. So the people being blind who can do it, it's like, it's not because we've seen people do it. It's because our brains automatically know, our unconscious mind already knows this state, this emotion looks like this. And what it is slumped over and everything, trying to protect the heart. So whenever someone sees us doing body posture, because also if you do the opposite, it's like, okay, now stand motivated and all that and notice what changes inside. And when they're in those postures, I try to get them to think themselves positive into the opposite state or think themselves negative. And you can't do it because the body and mind are connected. And so it's sort of like a Trojan horse. When you're thinking negative and you can't get out of the slump, you change your body posture to what you want. And so just like our minds recognize it in us, when we see someone else doing it, it automatically triggers it a little bit for us. And we know, like as we're hearing the story, our minds hear it and interpret it and know that, oh, okay, right now I'm supposed to feel good about what he's saying. It just, it goes along. And it's like, it's just this little like Jedi ninja trick to slip in there. And that way it's, because rapport is all about just getting them to drop their defense and understand that they can trust you and everything. And they'll pick up on so much unconsciously. But again, if you're not incongruent with, not congruent with what you're saying, what you're selling, that they'll pick up on that as well. And
it's funny you mention that, because I have a story specifically about that, and like this is why I did not go with this realtor. Like I'll tell you right now. So I went to kind of like a presentation, right? Because we were first time home, everything like that. We were looking to buy or looking for loans and all that stuff, right? We went to this workshop that was essentially set up with everyone that was needed in that buying process. And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. I can ask them all questions and whatnot. When the realtor came to start talking about how he's helped people find their homes at the best homes, he did something like this. And like, I'll never forget this specific moment. I forgot everything else that happened during that call. The actual workshop. But I remember I asked him a question, and when he went to answer it, he started doing this. He started backing up and like answering it. And it sounded like it was what I wanted to hear. At the same time, like I picked up more on the fact that he was backing away while he was answering than anything else. And immediately I lost trust for this person. I was like, something just didn't feel right anymore. And I think that's what you're getting at, right? It's just, you have to be confident in what it is you're selling, which we talked about at the beginning. And if you're not, then you're selling something that's not, like, you shouldn't be selling it. Right? And like, as clear as day there. But yeah, like, just like you mentioned, everything that you just talked about happened. And that was the result. That person literally stepped back when they were answering their question and made the offer. And it like immediately I was like, I don't want to buy from this. I don't want to work with this person. I don't trust this person. Like immediately. Right. So it just solidifies exactly what you were saying here.
Yeah. And you might not even be aware. It's like, there's just an energetic shift in us.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, there we go. That's the thing. It's like, we're getting in so much information. I mean, our unconscious minds are processing 4 million bits of information every second. I've actually heard as much as 40 million bits, but there's a lot of discussion around what a bit of information is. So I'll go with the low side, 4 million bits. However, our conscious mind can only take in 126 bits. 126, that's it. So if you turn that in, if you take a bit of information, turn it into a drop of water, you're talking about 114 gallons of water every single second that the unconscious mind is taking in, and our conscious mind can only get 1.1 teaspoons of that. So that's a huge,
that's
huge
crazy
difference.
That's a great analogy.
So the unconscious,
I like that visual.
The unconscious mind is picking up on all those little things that seem mediocre or irrelevant, that we're not even consciously aware of. Our conscious mind is doing exactly what you and I are doing right now, where it's having a conversation. The unconscious mind is picking up on everything else around. from the temperature around us, but also all these little body movements and things, you know, that the other person's making. Because it's also looking for, you know, back to the reptilian brain, it's looking for unsafe, you know, events that might happen. Like, you know, is there a tiger going to jump out there? So it's processing everything all the time to keep us safe. And since it's not picking up, because we know we don't have to worry about saber-toothed tigers anymore, and most of us don't have to worry about being attacked by a bear at any given moment or anything like that, or even like an opposing war tribe or something. It's like all that energy gets adjusted somewhere else. And it's like, what has our attention in that moment? So it's all picking up there. So yeah, we have this like Spider-Man, this spidey sense to pick up on this stuff. It's just, we're not tuned into it, or we're not aware of it. And, you know, we ignore it or whatever. Yeah, it's like everybody has this all naturally. And so that's a lot of what I do, is just get them back in touch with that and build rapport between them and their mind to trust it and understand it. It's like your gut is telling you everything you need to know most of the time. It's like, you're good. Just listen to it instead of letting something else talk you out of it.
It's true. And sometimes it's hard to actually do that yourself, right? It's easier to look into other people and see it, which is why I feel we have this like, well, why aren't they doing the thing that they need to be doing? Because they can't see it. Same thing in Excel's conversation, your client can't see, like, you know, often the solution, they're like, why aren't they doing this? If they just did this, they would be successful, or they would be even more successful than they are now. That's because they can't see it. They're blind to it, but they need you on the other side of it to help them make that decision, to help them see it, to help them see like what's just, you know, like just imagine what that would look like on the other side of it. Yeah.
So many people, we hear them all the time. It's like, oh, I'm great at giving advice to other people. I'm just messed up and trying to figure out my own. I'm like, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like the picture on the wall behind you. It's like the bird or whatever on the top. It's like, you can only see so much, because, you know, the cliche thing of being too close in the picture, too much in the frame. It's like an outside party is always so valuable, because they can see so much more from their perspective than we can, and help us dig it out of it. And plus, we're too mostly connected. We talk ourselves out of it, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So definitely
helpful insights there. I mean, first off, you got, it's all about the confidence, right? The people are coming to you. So be okay with making that offer up to help them as the next step. I think what the big issue is, the people, like you mentioned earlier, was people are afraid or too attached to the outcome of that offer, right? If they say no, they're devastated. It's okay. That just, it's their loss, not yours, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to, I feel like at the very few years ago when we were first starting, I feel like it's easier said than done from that perspective. Cause you're like, well, I kind of have a family to take care of, you know, like, what do I do? I get it. At the same time, if you can disattach yourself from that decision, whether they say yes or no, you still want to help that person, right? It'd be like, at least take this as your next step. That way they can start it. And when they're ready, they'll come back to you, because you're the person that wasn't like, no, okay, well then you're dead to me. Like, that's, you know, I've been in those situations where people have treated me like that. It's not fun, you know? So like, you don't buy, you're like, okay, cool. Next, you know, like, well, you're not a number either. So like you mentioned, the first thing is be confident in what you're selling and be unattached from the outcome. Two, make sure that we're congruently, like, stand up, I would say, I think is really the gold nugget out of that, right? Stand up so that you can move around and really get excited when you are actually excited, and lean in when you have to go make that offer. And when you're telling a story that has like some kind of travesty, like, it's okay to lean back, but just pay attention to what it is that you're actually doing.
Yeah, and be aware of when you actually do it. And also too, it's like, there's a reason you're doing it. So there's something, you're like, you're not just communicating something to them. It's like, there's something inside of you, there's like incongruency in your programming or whatever, whether it's salesman or sleazy or a self-worth issue or whatever it is. It's like, when it happens and you catch yourself, for one, don't beat yourself up that it happened. Like, actually celebrate yourself that you caught it. Because it's like, now you're becoming more aware of it. And if you caught it, you can start catching it earlier and earlier. And then you get to preventing it even if you never figure out exactly what it was, it's like you can still reprogram it by overriding that system by doing it. So, you know, as I've worked with people, and I've done this myself, because we tend to be harder on ourselves than we are anyone else, and where it would happen and then catch it right after, I'm like, man, I screwed up, and you know, be all upset about it. And it's like, no, you're just feeding more into the negative. It's like, actually celebrate that you caught it, because think all the times it got away from you and you never knew what you were doing. So now that you know, like, if you're aware, then you can fix it. You can't fix what you, you know, Muhammad Ali would say, you can't hit what your eyes can't see. It's like same thing. Like, you cannot fix what you don't, you're not aware of, you know, is an issue. It's like, so now you're not on autopilot anymore. It's like, cool. Now you know the issue, you can figure it out. You know, might take some trial and error, but it's like, at least like knowing problems are there, just like negative feedback from a customer. It's like, that's actually a beautiful thing, because I would much rather a client tell me where I messed up or where I lost the sale, or, you know, why they didn't renew with me or something. Because if they tell me, then I can look at it. Is it something that needs to be corrected? Or is it just, you know, our relationship was done, or, you know, they outgrew me, outgrew them, whatever it is. But it's like, if you're not getting that feedback, then you can't make improvements. You know, I mean, that's how we improve anyway. It's like, there's feedback somewhere letting us know that something could be better. So it's all a positive thing. There's no failure. There's only feedback. That's it.
Yep. It's true. And it's just telling you what needs fixing, what needs to be changed. Yeah. I love it. So we're kind of rubbing up on time here. I just want to make sure we can all get in contact with you if we have any further questions. I know Lahiba provided a lot already. So where can people go if they want to reach out to you?
Our website is brooksempowermentacademy.com. Which is going to be going through a facelift here very, very soon. Then also, you know, I'm on Facebook, all the typical social media outlets. So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and all of those are, you know, whatever the URL is, .com/ Kip Brooks Coach. And yeah, feel free to reach out to me, any questions anybody has. And yeah, I love this stuff. I geek out on it. I'll talk about this all day long. This is basically what I do at like dinner parties. It's like, once I get the mic, it's like, let's talk about mindset. Let's talk about human behavior. So yeah,
I love it.
Go there all day long with people.
Awesome. So, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And now, before I forget, if you are having those conversations and need to have more of those enrollment calls, as opposed to thinking of them from the perspective of sales calls that we talked about today, head on over to ventobot.com/book to get your free copy of The Complete Automation Strategy, the four phases we take our private clients through to generate never-ending leads so they can have enrollment calls instead of sales calls. Until next time, I'm Victor with Ventobot, and I will see you on the next episode. Bye.